All right, look what it says in 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the who? The Son of God. Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Start reading at verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, John the Baptist. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent, what? Take it by force. Wow. Powerful. Agents of change. All right, now, you and I have been chosen by God even from the foundation of the world. We've been chosen. Now, there is a purpose for your life. And that purpose that God has for your life, he places in your heart. Okay? And the Bible says the deep calls to the deep. I think that's in Psalm 47. But the deep calls to the deep. The deep in God, that the purpose is in his heart for your life. And it calls to your purpose. So when does that happen? It happens that everything, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, has a season. See, it happens in that season. There was a season that I worked as a fighter pilot. See. But then, you know, I wanted to get out of the military. I said, well, this keep me from house all the time. And then there's another season that I worked in business for IBM. But then all of a sudden, seasons changed. Man, I felt the call to preach. You know. Now, don't think that's you sitting down there. That's what, okay, because that's why sometimes I hate to talk about anything. You see, you kind of take it, you know, babies eat bottle cap. Oh, just give me that. But there's a season, see, and there may be a season that he wants you to be here or he wants you to be at that position, and then he moves you forward because everything has a season. And there is a time to every purpose under heaven. So you have a purpose. And there's a time for it. See? And sometimes what people try to do is overstay their season. And the next thing you know, things start drying up. Because the season there is over. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let's take that scripture in an amplified translation and let's just see how this fits in, that there's a call, there's a purpose for your life, and then there's a season. He said, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God, what? Predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared when? Ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the what kind of life? Good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. It's been worked out. She said, it's done. It's worked out. He's worked it out. What we have to do is walk it out.
Come on, Pastor.
Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, is the agent that comes, it's God himself, but he's the agent of God to help you get from point A to point B. But the Holy Spirit won't make you do something. Now, he's worked in certain people's lives, like Lester Summerall and people like that. Lester Summerall said God showed him a casket on one side and him with a Bible on the other side and said, choose. That was a fairly easy choice. Got it? But the Bible says over in Psalm 139 that your members were formed before God knew what your members were before you got in your mother's womb. Over in Jeremiah chapter 1, he talks about the fact that before we came into the womb, he knew us and ordained us. My goodness. So you, no matter how you came into this earth, you were purposed to be here. But I don't know who my daddy is. Well, yes, you do now. Praise God. It's. But you don't, you know, I know the past may not have been quite right, but God has a purpose for your life. And there's a season. See, there's a season for things. That's rich right there. You know what I mean? Okay. So you've been placed in this earth for purpose. And as you do this, I was writing in my newsletter, my partners this month, about the fact that, you know, sometimes people are asking, what do you do? You know, he said, for a living. And that's what he said. I work at the post office for a living. Well, no, that's, if you're born again, that's what you do to serve people. You have been dispatched by the kingdom of God. You are not employed, you are deployed. And God has sent you here as a change agent for the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. All right. Now, one of the key things is we have to understand that we're coming to enforce a new culture and a superior kingdom and to even shift the atmosphere, the climate, and get the earth back into the hands of its rightful ownership. So you and I have quite a job here. The Bible says that we are ambassadors, we're heirs of God, we're sons of God, and so forth. Now, you and I are given the ability to work in both realms, both the spiritual realm and the natural realm, all right? But you know and I know everything is controlled by the spirit realm, okay? So you and I have this ability to work in a place that we can get things done from the spirit realm. All right. Now, we are, the reason why I read this in verse 12, let's read it again. No, verse 11. Let's read that again. For verily I say unto you, this is Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. Verily, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, excuse me, born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was a pretty powerful guy. Say amen to that. Amen. And he that is least in the kingdom. I'm talking about you're just a little toe in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. You are greater than John the Baptist. Isn't that powerful? All right. Now, your calling here is, again, a purpose that God has for you, that you're going to bring change to whatever environment you're in. And verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Okay? Take it by force. All right. Let's see what I mean by that. The church. Now bear with me because I'm giving you my own assessment here. The church. One of the things that I said as a minister of the gospel, that I was going to make sure that people through me had the right understanding about the church. That they perceive the church in the right way. You know, who really is the church? Because I'd been brought up and I'd seen all kinds of things. And the pastor doing some weird stuff and the congregation weirder. And just some weird stuff. So I wasn't really big on church, you know. But as I received my calling, I wanted to make sure that I represented God properly. And when I say represent, break it up. Represent. I want to represent God to the world. Because I put some things down here that I felt that, at least from my observation of how the world somewhat sees the church, pretty much see the church where people go who are either poor or can't make it. And they're pretty much irrelevant. And they're really not making a difference anywhere. And the idea about the church building, it's taking up space that should be taxable. And that the churches are fighting about denominations and whose is the best. And it has been seen to be irrelevant because, you know, you got, you know, well, what is the church going to do about all these murders? What's the church going to do about all these drugs? So it's looked at sometimes as being a little inept or lacking in ability. And that it seems like a lot of times it's unprofessional and untrained. It's seen in the city sometimes, especially in the hood, that it's almost on every corner, but you still got the crime going on. I'm talking about agents of change now, us, okay? And I'm not coming down on the church. I'm just saying some observations. And again, people have looked at it as being, you know, people who are unqualified to really do things, not quite competent. And the system considers the church of people who pretty much live on handouts and begging all the time and just need help to make it. You can't make it without, you know, we can just get some little help. I know they had a big thing with the pastors and some of the ministers, because apparently the city was going up on the water bills or passing the water bill over to the churches. And boy, did this cause a big blow up. Because the church is saying, I don't have that in my budget. I cannot pay that, so forth and so on. Now that's, again, that's fixed income. And in election time, it seems like who's ever running comes through the church. And want the vote. Now, I'm only saying this, not that that's the state that all the church is in right now, but I wanted to point that out because I want us to shift from the survival mentality to to the conquering mentality. You all right? You got it? I want us to move from surviving to conquering. Now, the first step to doing that is that you have to know who you are. Glory to God. You have to know who you are. The next thing is that you have to be in a place where you have learned how not to depend on the world. How not to depend on the world. See, because you can't change the world if you depend on the world. I'll say that again. You can't change the world if you depend on the world. And then thirdly, we're going to have to move beyond salvation to transformation. You're going to have to move beyond salvation to transformation. All right, I just gave you three things that we're going to have. What was number one? Identity. You're going to have to know who you are. What was number two? You're going to have to learn to function independent of the system of the world. Number two. What was number three? We're going to have to move beyond salvation. Come on. To transformation. You got those three? Now, if you get that and study that out and become that, you will be a change agent. If you get that and study that out and become that, you will be a change agent. No matter where you are. Are you with me? All right, now, your identity is God. Well, let's go over there. Let's go over to Judges chapter 6, please. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Amen. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor." Now I want you to see this, because God sees you better than you see yourself. Hands down. Call him a mighty man of valor. Now, if you go on down here, and Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles?" Underline that. And where be all his miracles? Now, I'm asking that today. Because I'm going to drift into something here, and we'll go into it some more next time. And where are all our miracles? Now, if God's with us, say amen. Amen. Which our fathers told us of, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Now, where they should be the head, they're the tail. You read it earlier in that chapter. They're hiding out. And I'm saying the four walls of the church is not a place to hide out. It's a place that you be built up and launched out. It's not a place to hide out. And you work on yourself and better yourself. And if you know you got some bad habits, fix those habits. If you know that there's some wrong structures in your life, take care of that. If you know there's some relationships in your life that are toxic, Drop those relationships. Get rid of them. I'm saying this is a place that you get it together. Not that you stay like you are. You were mean when you came in here and you're still mean. That's not the idea. This is a place where you come and say, hey, I just discovered I need to go back to school. This is a place for you to do that. This is not the place. Well, the Lord knows. Yeah, he does know. He knows that you need to be in school. Say amen to this. This is not the place you hide out and say, well, you know, so forth and so on, and then complain about everything that's going on. No, you are a change agent. You're a change agent. God is going to do something with you. You can't change others if you've not been changed yourself. They should see something in your family, should see something in you that they want to know, where are you going getting all of this? You going to church yet and all of that? I thought the church was full of a bunch of, you know, so forth and so on. And you said, no, not the church I go to. This church that I go to is a church of change. This church that I attend is a resurrection center. Are you with me? It's going down. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. All these excuses now. See, he's looking at his past. He's looking at his condition as he is right now. But see, that's not the way God leaves you. God changes you. Paul said, I die daily. What does he mean by that? He means something in me is dead and buried, and something else is resurrected inside of me. Every day, something new is coming out of me. Oh, my Lord, verse 15. And he said to him, Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, this is kind of interesting. This whole one man concept. You got what I'm saying? One man. Now, I have here, I guess this is another translation, you shall crush them as easy as they were one man. One man. I look up one man. Abraham was one man. And he is the one that started the whole change in history. One man. I look at Joseph. He was one man. Because of him, the whole world could be preserved because he provided food when the whole world was in famine. One man. How about Moses? One man. He said, Moses, I'm going to send you down here and get these people set free. Moses said, who, me? Well, let's see what Moses said. Look at Exodus and Exodus chapter 4. Let's look at that. Okay. In Exodus chapter 4, I'll start reading here at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, come on, help me. Who has made your mouth? Wow. So what is he saying? He is saying, whatever deficiency you have, I got you covered. Whatever deficiency you have, I've got you covered. See, I preach one Sunday that God is a heart fixer. Come on, help me now. And a mind regulator. See, my grandmother and them used to say that down there in that little old one-room church down there in Georgia when I used to go in the summertime. And she lived in the country. They were farmers. And they used to say that. And I just wondered, what are they talking about? Well, what they're talking about is you can take a person like Gideon, who has never performed well on the SAT ever. I'm talking about the academic examinations. But he has never performed well in anything. But look how God can touch a person's mind and give them a whole new way of thinking. Say amen to that, folks. Because he's a heart fixer and a mind maker. Praise God. Okay, so look what Moses said. Moses said, hey, I can't do this. How about people like Elisha? And one man said, he was surrounded by the Syrian army. And it's what one man said. There be more with us than there be with them. This is one man now. Now, I'm talking about this is the Old Testament. It's John the Baptist. He was greater than all of those, but you are greater than him. I'm just letting you know now, this is one man. But John the Baptist was greater than any of them. It said it. But the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Now, come on now. You can change that whole company. One woman, one man. Say amen. I could change this whole neighborhood. One woman. Come on, one man. Come on. With a bunch of us, we can change the whole city. Am I right about it now? Identification. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Man, you're one woman. How about the woman named Esther? She saved the whole Jewish community from being wiped out. Say amen.
Amen.
One woman. The girl had it going on. One woman, man. And you're here looking at your deficiencies. Well, I, my mother didn't love me when I was. Hey, get over it. We got work to do. Folks, we are not a bunch of dysfunctional folks looking to hide from reality. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say amen to that. People come to me and say, well, you know, I've been trying to find a job for a year. What? As much power as you got running through you? You kidding me? You can command a job. No. See, I'm not sure what excuses we've been using here. But you are agents of change. How about Mary? You know she changed things. She believed she received. How about Peter? How about the Apostle Paul? He's credited for writing over half the New Testament as we study. Charles Finney, Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King now, Martin Luther. How about Smith Wigglesworth? I was looking at a tape the other day. The guy was in church. He was testifying. He said, we were told by the pastor that nobody in your family is to die prematurely anymore. And he said, I took what he said, and that was it. So my uncle died. So I found out he was dead, and I went to the morgue, and he had been in the morgue 2 days. And I raised him up. Watch this. And brought him back to the house. Ha ha on the devil. Raised him up and brought him home with me. Now, how does that look? Boy, some funeral homes go out of business if they put y'all in the thing. You just walk in the house, who dead up in here? Praise God. So a voice says, everybody, praise the Lord. agents of change. This is what we're going into that now. We're going to preach a little bit about raising the dead. Now, don't let that not bring you back. Now, I'm not going to talk about that next time. I'm going to get you built up. But my point to you is identification. Who are you? Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Are you following what I'm saying? So that was identification. What is the second one? What is the second one now? I can't hear you. What did I say? What is the exact words that I use? Somebody in your best voice, what is the exact words? Because y'all, what are the exact words that I use? Yeah, so what did I say? What did I say? You can't change the world if you depend on the world. But what did I say? It's hard, yeah. That you and I have to learn to function independent of the world. Independent of the world. Now, you can't change it if you depend on it. How many of you know that? You can't change it if you depend on it, folks. And the church has been dependent on foreign oil. We depend, that's what I call it. We're looking to something outside of our provider to provide for us. No. God is our source. God is our supply. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And the reason why he wants you to get used to sowing and reaping, because he wants to take care of you. I do not want another man downtown buying my wife some stockings. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? God is a jealous God. Do you know that? He is a jealous God. Look what it says here in verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of what? Heaven and earth, that I will not take from you a thread even to a shoelace, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, come on, I have made Abraham rich. God does not want anybody to say they made his people rich. God takes care of his family. And check this out, can do it in style. Don't think you got to barely get along down by Grumble Alley before God will meet your need. No, my friends. God has an inexhaustible supply laid up in heaven for you. Now, the thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn how to receive from God. Say this with me. I believe. From this night, I have learned how to receive from God. Okay? Because if you don't, then you're always going to be under the pressure of the world. If you don't know how to receive from God. Okay? So we got to learn to function independent of that. Say amen to that.
Amen.
What was the third one I gave you? Moving beyond. Okay, I got it. Moving beyond salvation to transformation. All right. Now this is key here. Because what I'm about to say now might go a little bit further than you know. And we're going to talk about it some more as we go along. But one of the reasons why our economy experiences things like recession I believe, is because God's people have had faith in the wrong system. Check it out. First of all, I talked about fix income, unfix it. That means if you have a need, sow a seed. Am I right about that? God measures back to you, good measure, press down, shake it together, running over. 30, 60, come on, 100-fold, even 1,000 times more. It should be that when the job market goes down, God's people will produce companies that'll bring jobs back up. That your environment should be experiencing 100% employment. Everybody that wants a job, you got one. That's transformation. When I preach all that time on the wealth transfer, that's why it's being transferred. It's being transferred so that you can transform the environments that you're in. And it's going to take money. Going to take money. I don't know much in this earth that doesn't take money. Say amen to that. Okay. So transformation. Now, here's a piece I want to leave you with. Look at Exodus chapter 4 one more time, please. Exodus chapter 4. All right, now. The enemy knows that you and I, he knows what we have, by the way. He knows what we have. He is aware of what we possess. But his job is to keep you from being aware of what you possess. Okay? He's a deceiver. In verse 1, it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. He said, now cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith you shall be do what? Signs. All right. When you get born again, it connects you with the original source of power. When you get born again, it connects you with the original source of power. If you recall in John chapter 14 and verse 10, Jesus said, believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me? For the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the what? Works. He doeth the works. Now we know he said that we do greater works. But in this, I want you to see that power is the principal requirement for getting things done. Glory to God. Power. And in Moses' case, until power was on display, release would not come. Until power was on display, release would not come. Now, Jesus, look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 34. Well, just Luke chapter 4, and I'll tell you what scripture to go to. And look at verse 33. You with me? And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Now, what was this devil doing? Was he advertising for Jesus? And what was he doing here? Next verse. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold your peace and come out of her." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, or come out of him, and when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about." Power. Power. My Lord. Now let's go look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You shall receive power. So what am I saying? That God is passing on to you power. And amen. And the enemy fears that power. Now he'll harass you as long as you're just trying to operate without that power. But with that power, he's going to either shut up or get out and buy you. Because this power is what is needed to dominate this earth. And I believe that the church has been talking a lot, but somehow we left off the power. But we're bringing now the power back. We're not going to be explaining anything. We're going to demonstrate something. Say amen to that. And I'm saying that Jesus himself, look at Acts chapter 10, because it took the power of God to do what he did in verse 38, how God anointed him, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost, come on, and with power, who went about doing what? Good, and what else? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for who was with him? God was with him. Come on over to Colossians chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ where? In you, the hope of glory. What does the word Christ mean? The anointed one and his anointing. So the anointed one and his anointing is inside of you. Watch this. And it's the most powerful force in the universe. Say amen to this. And the devil knows you need an unction to function. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 2, and that's our last scripture. 1 John chapter 2, this is inside of you. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's inside of you right now, and the enemy's job is to keep it from functioning. Look what he said here in verse 19. And they went out from us, but this is chapter 2, verse 19, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an what? Unction from the Holy Ghost, and you know all things. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides where? In you, and you need not any man what? Teach you, but the same anointing what? Teaches you of how many things? All things, and is truth, and is no lie. So I'm here to tell you, when you got born again, and you got received the Holy Ghost, this is the power that God needed for you to do things that would change the environment that you're in. No longer are you going to try to persuade people with conversation or persuasive speech. Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, glory to God, you're going to be like the Apostle Paul. For my speech and my preaching are not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Keep going. So that their faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I'm here to tell you right now, what I'm going to do is start stirring up the power that is inside of you. There is a generator inside of you that's connected to God Almighty that is going to be demonstrating and think. See, the enemy can't do anything about the world because he can't do anything about the devil. People can't do anything about the world because they can't do anything about the devil. See, the church are the only ones that can put the devil in his place. Yes. Say amen to that. Amen. So if this man can go to the morgue after 2 days and raise up his uncle or whoever it was and take him back home with him, why can't it be that anybody that comes into church with a sickness or disease, why can't they get healed? This should be a power center. This could be a praise place for anybody who comes in with anything they may have. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst of them. So the anointed one is right here. Not only that, he's got his anointing inside of you. And I'm believing that it's not going to be that we're going to have to be laying hands on a lot of people. Just come around us and let that anointing, it's going to drive out sickness. It's going to remove burdens. Come on. It's going to destroy you. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. Now, this anointing, we're going to talk about it some next time, because I think this is the piece that's been missing. Say amen.
Amen.
And the church may have a collection of people that come from all kinds of backgrounds and whatever have you, but they have the anointing of God is going to rest on the church. On each person, you're supposed to be a power center. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That power is resident and ready to be operating at any time. It's not you that heals them. It's the power of God that heals them. And that power is in you right now. And we're going to start stirring that power up. We're going to make it so when you walk in the job, you're going to even walk funny. Walk like John Wayne. Walk sideways. Amen. You shall receive what?
Power.
See, the devil respects power.
Yes, he does. Yes, yes.
Power.
Come on now.
We're going to stop settling for just trying to argue with somebody.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to demonstrate.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Read for next time. Read 1 Kings 18.
Come on.
And that's when Elisha had a face-off with the other prophets. Said, let's see whose God is really God. Glory to God. So here's what I'm saying. This is going to be a good time now. See, because one man set Israel free from Egypt. But he said, with this rod, you're going to be doing signs. Well, your rod is going to be the Holy Ghost. Going to be the anointing of God. With this rod, you're going to be doing signs.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Folks, all those anointings that's on you, the anointing of wisdom, the anointing of revelation, come on, the anointing of the fear of the Lord, all those anointings are on you. I'm going to just run through those real quick next time so you know what you've got. I want you to walk funny after you walk out of here. I want you to come in the house. Who's up in here? Looking for the devil, boy.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Yeah.
Say this to me, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive that word.
I receive that word.
I am anointed.
From this day forward,
I ask you
to give me revelation,
even more revelation
of who I am
in Christ Jesus,
that
I am seated together with Him in heavenly places,
in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe.
I receive
right now
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right.